District Court Judge Andrea Miller from Scotts Bluff, from the 12th Judicial District. Mr. Richardson?
Yes, Your Honor.
Good morning to you. You'll be arguing for appellants, and Mr. Steele?
Yes, Your Honor.
Good morning to you. And Mr. Froling?
Correct, Your Honor.
Good morning to you. So you are going to split time, and Mr. Steele, are you going to argue first?
Mr. Froling will argue first for 7 minutes, Your Honor.
Okay. And Mr. Froling and Mr. Steele, you understand, you have to keep track of that 7 minutes. The bailiff does not do that.
Yes, Your Honor.
Very good. Do any counsel have any questions before we begin? Mr. Richardson, you may proceed.
May it please the court, I'd request 2 minutes for rebuttal. My name is Mark Richardson. I'm here today on behalf of appellants Michelle and Mark Callahan in a case that they brought for the negligent misrepresentation claim they brought against both their insurance company, Shelter Insured, as well as their agent, Jeb Brandt. And I would submit to the court that if the facts of this case do not give rise to a negligent misrepresentation case in the state of Nebraska, then there is no such cause of action that exists, at least as it relates to insurance agents in Nebraska. My goal is to walk through three different areas of this case this morning, the first being the facts of the case, because those are important in distinguishing this case from any case this court has decided previously. The second is to talk about the evolution of Nebraska case law as it relates to negligent misrepresentation in terms of insurance agents. And then finally, to walk through the missteps by the lower court in deciding that this case was somehow directly comparable to a previous Nebraska State District Court case from 1998 that just happened to be authored by then-judge, now Justice Castle. The facts of this case, as with any case, are obviously important, even more so in this case, because this was a motion for summary judgment. So all of the facts I'm about to walk through must presume to be true for the purpose of what the court is here to do in this case. And those facts are that Michelle and Mark Callahan were sheltered, had a shelter insurance, homeowners insurance contract for the better part of a decade, when during that time they actually experienced a loss to their basement. They felt that they came through that underinsured. They were kind of surprised they didn't have the coverage they thought they had. That put their radar up. So in response to that, they went to their shelter insured agent, Jeb Brandt, and they, knowing the amount of the total loss coverage of the house, knowing that that amount was $267,000, they went to Jeb Brandt and said, this amount doesn't seem like this would be enough to cover us if we had a total loss for the house. They provided the context. There's an explicit request for advice. In response to that,
did they ask for a specific amount to be covered?
They did not ask for a specific amount to be covered because they didn't know whether or not this was sufficient or not.
Is that a problem? Was that the deciding factor for the district court judge?
It's not clear to me whether or not that was the deciding factor, because at the lower court level here, ultimately what the judge found was, or what the judge determined, is that somehow there was a patent conflict between our client's concern over the amount of coverage versus the written amount of the policy, and then the agent stepping in and saying, oh, don't worry, that amount is sufficient. Jeb Brandt here gave them that advice. He knew that there was $267,000 of coverage, and yet he told the clients that specific amount is sufficient. And he even went a step further than that, and he gave them justification as to why they shouldn't be worried.
Back in 2011, the original amount was set roughly at $250,000, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
How was that number reached? Did your client go and say, I want $250,000 worth of coverage?
No, there is evidence in the record in this case that that Jeb Brandt used some form of a computer program that he entered information into, and that spit that number out later on.
And between 2011 and 2018, that amount grew to $267,000 coverage, roughly.
Correct.
How did your client ask for that increase in coverage between 2011 and 2018?
There were no requests for increase in coverage. My understanding is that would have just been actuarial adjustments.
Is there an inflation adjustment in the policy?
I'm not sure if there's an inflation adjustment in the policy or not, but the facts of this case are that 267 didn't come close to what the actual loss was. Our clients ended up rebuilding their house and a much smaller version of their house, and the total cost for the rebuild ended up being at least $190,000 more than what the coverage was.
So both of those coverage amounts were established by the insurance company through the use of whatever tools they use.
That's my understanding. In this instance, that's what happened. Now, taking this case and looking at the lower court case that Justice Castle, you had an order on back in 1998, this was the Fuelberg case that's referenced in the lower court order. The lower court doesn't just seem to suggest, it explicitly states that the case facts are nearly identical, and that's simply not true. The case facts in Fuelberg, that was a situation where the insureds went to the agent before they had the policy in place and simply gave, as Justice Castle said in his order, a general request for coverage. They went and said, we want to make sure that our house is covered in the event of a total loss. The agent went out and got the policy, put it in place, delivered it to the insured, and there was never any further communication on that matter. In this case, this policy had been in place for several years. Because of a prior loss, it prompted our client to go to their insurance agent and specifically solicit advice, specifically say, we know the amount of this coverage, and that doesn't seem like that would be enough. They then relied upon an express assurance that was given to them by their insurance agent. There is no indication anywhere in the Fuelberg case that anything like that form of communication ever occurred.
Well, if they knew their policy had a $267,000 benefit and they believed their house was worth more than that or it was going to cost more, do they have to specifically tell the insurance agent, our houses are worth more than $267,000? Can you raise the premium or the benefits? How do they handle that?
That's the entire implication of what they were telling their agent. They went to Jeb Brandt and said, this doesn't seem like the right amount. It seems like our house is worth more than that, so wouldn't it cost more to rebuild? And the testimony from Michelle Callahan is that Jeb Brandt told them, well, you're not considering the cost of the land. And so you have to deduct that from the value, and that's why in this case, you're okay, you're fully insured, don't worry. That's a fundamental difference.
How specific was the request by your clients?
I mean, I think it was as specific as it could get. Their concern was, we don't think that there's enough coverage here. The way they communicated with the agent was to explicitly tell him that. We don't think there's enough coverage here based on what we know about the value of our house. Now, did they use the words, can you give us advice? I don't think that's found anywhere in the record, but clearly that is what he then did.
But this isn't a case where they asked that the limit be raised and the agent didn't raise it, correct?
Correct.
We don't have that fact pattern.
That is exactly right.
So we have a fact pattern where the homeowners knew that their home or believed that their home was worth more than the policy limit that they had, and you are arguing that they shifted a duty somehow to their agent by saying, do we have enough?
Your Honor, I don't think they shifted the duty. Under established Nebraska law in the Flamme case, that is up to the agent to do. If the agent inserts himself by giving advice, we understand that as things stand right now, insurance agents in Nebraska are order takers. They receive a request for insurance and they go get it. But Nebraska law is clear in the Flamme case that they do assume a duty when they go beyond being an order taker and they give advice directly. And that is clearly what happened here. And
right now you're talking about negligent misrepresentation.
Yes, Your Honor. Yep, that's the negligent misrepresentation.
We've upheld some of those cases, is that correct?
Upheld some of those cases in?
In the fact that when they did give advice and the advice was inaccurate?
When there's been, yes, that has been the rule in Nebraska, that when there's advice, that advice must be accurate, cannot be false advice. With that, I will reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So, Mr. Froehling, good morning to you.
Good morning, Chief Justice.
You may proceed.
May it please the court. Counsel, My name is Isaiah Froling with Klein Williams, Wright Johnson, and Old Father, and I represent Appley Shelter Mutual Insurance Company. In Nebraska, an insured, by simply asking a question, cannot and should not be allowed to unilaterally create a duty which an insurance agent must fulfill. This case hinges on questions asked by appellants about the sufficiency of their insurance policy.
Are you talking about negligent misrepresentation here, or are you talking about just negligent performance?
Generally as to both, and I'll address both, Mr. Chief Justice. The questions at issue are, do we have enough coverage? Related to negligence, the district court, this court should not permit mere questions about the adequacy of coverage to create a duty for the insurance agent. And related to the negligent misrepresentation claim, this court should find that reliance...
So you're at summary judgment. Is this, was this just a situation where the clients asked about coverage, or did they actually make a request that we want coverage that covers the total replacement cost of our house? And does that make a difference?
I think that does make a difference, and I think that the record is clear that the question was, do we have enough coverage? We're concerned that if we have a total loss, our entire house may not be
covered.
And
in response, was there a representation that's undisputed?
It's not undisputed, or it's certainly not undisputed, but for the purposes of summary judgment, taken as true, Michelle Callahan and Mark Callahan said that Jeb Brandt responded, you have enough coverage, or yes.
Or you have a lot that's worth a lot of money?
Excuse me, I didn't catch that.
You have a parcel that's worth money?
That was part of the discussion.
So what is the representation you believe to be under discussion?
That entire discussion, which would be, yes, you have enough coverage, and also consider that when your house burns down or you have a total loss, there's still the value of the land. That's the entirety of the conversation. And so...
Is there a dispute as to that? That is the content of that which was said by the agent?
There's a dispute that the agent even said any of that, but for purposes of summary judgment, we assume that that is true in favor of appellants.
In favor of the plaintiffs.
Correct, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Isn't it true in the situation that the value of this house, even back in 2011, was provided through a tool from the insurance agent, the estimator?
There is evidence that an estimate was created. Whether or not that's the value that appellants chose to go with is ultimately up to them because it's their duty.
Even though your clients have stepped in the role and said, your house is worth this, so this is how much insurance you need.
They've provided an estimate, and on that estimate, it explicitly states, this is just an estimate. It is your responsibility to know the value of your own property. And the policy says that at numerous other places, despite providing this mere estimate, which is one factor among many that an insured can consider in fulfilling their duty of requesting a specific policy amount.
In real life, do consumers trust their insurance agents with this number? Does every consumer need to go out and find their own number and not rely upon what's been given to them as an estimate?
Under Nebraska case law, the duty is the insurance. So I would say yes, it's
so
the
in
insurance
real,
responsibility.
So in real life, is this how it works? A customer comes in and says, I want $1 million policy to rebuild my house. Actually, it's not. Wouldn't take that to do it. Would, and then the agent says, we won't underwrite that risk.
Sure, that's certainly right? The agent's prerogative, but if that's the number provided, they can either procure it or say no.
Okay.
Related to the negligent misrepresentation, we would ask that the court find reliance is unreasonable as a matter of law when an insured provides an agent with no additional home details because it is the insured's duty, and when the policy expressly states the policy amount and, quote, no agent can know your exact coverage needs or budget considerations, so it is your responsibility to examine the policy and make sure it provides the types of coverage you need in the amounts you requested.
Isn't that what the plaintiffs did here?
The plaintiffs certainly didn't request a policy amount. They said, do we have enough, which we submit is distinguishable.
Both husband and wife came to the agent and repeated requests that they felt they were underinsured.
I would clarify that the record reflects the husband asked those questions after the policy was issued. And at that point, the policy is issued. It's still his responsibility. And the wife, Ms. Callahan, did ask, do we have enough coverage? But we would again submit that that is distinguishable from saying, we believe we need this amount of coverage. They were well aware, or at least thought, that their house was underinsured, which further goes undercuts their argument that it's their duty. That's their responsibility to know. And in fact, they were even suspicious of that. And this is merely an attempt not only to shift the burden, but to create a new burden for the insurance agents when Dulkey versus John F. Zimmer Insurance Agency, Polsky versus Powers, and Kenyon versus Larson say that it is the insurance duty to advise the agent not only of the type of insurance, but the limits desired. And that's exactly what the policy reinforces in this case. And if the court were to adopt appellant's theory, an agent's opinion provided in response to an insured's simple question, do I have enough insurance for my property? That would instantly require the insurance agent in responding to know every detail about the insured's property in order to respond.
Does this record reflect somewhat similar to what Justice Frydenberg is discussing, how a number is achieved in this instance with this particular company?
Yes,
Do they say to the homeowner, is it made of wood? Is it made of bricks? What's the square footage? How blah, 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 right?
The evidence,
a new roof, all that stuff.
The evidence for the initial policy, I believe Jeb Brandt's testimony was he spoke with the insureds, he took some pictures of the outside of the house, and he went to the assessor's website. However, none of those things had changed over the years, and when insureds came and said, we don't believe we have enough insurance, they provided no additional details about had they upgraded their countertops, had there been any other changes, and it's simply unreasonable to shift or create a duty for the insurance agent without additional information to respond and know all of those details. And I see I am into my co-counsel's time, and unless there are further questions, I would ask the reasoning of the district court be affirmed in all aspects.
Thank you very much. Mr. Steele, good morning to you.
Good morning.
May it please the court. I am Roger Steele, the attorney for the appellee, Jeb Brandt. I think one thing that hasn't been discussed is the notion, if there is a misrepresentation, if you'd assume that, it has to be something somebody could reasonably rely upon. And to ask the question, do we have enough? And if I'm an agent and I say, well, I think so, well, what does that even mean? To say, do we have enough? And to put that burden on an agent to be able to respond, an agent is not an appraiser.
Well, he had choices when he responded, though, didn't he? He could have said, when he was asked, do we have enough, he could have said, that's up to you. What are you worried about?
And the policy,
and instead he said, yeah, you have enough.
For purposes of this record, and it's on a summary judgment, I'll assume that's true. But the policy says, by the way, it's your obligation to know how much insurance you need. And Michelle Callahan testified that Jeb Brandt dissected the policy with her. That was her word. She said they spent 30 to 45 minutes with Jeb Brandt dissecting the policy. So he went through the entire policy where it says in big bold print, it's your job to know how much insurance coverage you need. So to the issue of reliance, when you're told up front, oh, by the way, it's for you to decide how much you want, it's for you to decide how much is enough.
So the argument is they were foolish to rely on a representation of any, which is you got a lot.
I think anybody who would rely upon the statement, is this car enough for me? Is this car adequate for me? Sure. Well, that's That may be my opinion.
No, I'm talking about this case in particular, well, because there are values for the home and values for the lot and the value by the assessor and...
Right. So I think, I don't think anybody, I wouldn't say foolish. I don't think you can reasonably rely upon...
What have our cases talked about before? Reasonable reliance.
Reasonable reliance. I think the issue is the court going to say you can reasonably rely upon somebody's opinion that something is enough for you, whatever that means. I'm out of time. I thank you for your time.
I beg your pardon. So explore just momentarily reasonable reliance. It's not a feeling. It's a dollar number.
Yes, and they knew precisely that the dollar number was $267,400. So, and that goes to the absurdity of saying, you know, we were relying upon you to give us enough coverage. Well, here's your coverage. It's stated right in the policy. I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor, 1:28.
1:28.
Thank you, Your
seconds,
Honor.
Mr. Richardson.
Yes. As to the issue of reasonable reliance, Nebraska law is crystal clear on this. Whether a party's reliance upon a misrepresentation was reasonable is a question of fact. That's Intercall v. Edgenera. That is a factual question that is supposed to be determined by the jury. We are not asking the Nebraska Supreme Court to adopt any new theories of law here. We are only asking that Nebraska established law in this arena be actually applied to this case.
So you're saying in the context of the summary judgment, not a finding of fact?
Correct. And then when it comes to shift, we're not asking the court to somehow say that insureds can unilaterally shift the burden to their insurance agents. That is up to the agent. I think there have been some good questions this morning, both to myself and to opposing counsel, about the actions of my clients in going and asking the question. I mean, I just heard a lot of comments made about what is written in the policy and say, and the policy says, well, you have to know what your needs are and those kind of things. But the lead-in to that paragraph says, if you have questions about what's in your policy, go talk to your trusted shelter insurance agent.
Let me ask you one thing about, there's been reference during the questions this morning about the real world. And I want to ask you what I think is the flip side real world question. If we were to go the direction you suggest, that would put insureds in the position of being able to ask a question, get an answer, underinsure their property when they have a good reason to believe it's underinsured, and avoid the expense of the premium if there's never a loss. There's a financial incentive for them to ask a question and rely on an answer that they know is probably not right. Isn't that the reality of the situation?
I don't think that's quite the reality of the situation, because Nebraska law already accounts and adjusts for that. It's not just reasonable reliance, and it's not just that false information was provided. It's that the insurance agent also, we would also have to prove at the trial court level that the insurance agent failed to use reasonable care in providing that information. So again, we're not asking any more of an insurance agent than we would ask of anyone else that has a pecuniary interest in a relationship with somebody else. Be reasonable in what it is that you're communicating with somebody else. And as long as you're doing that, you're not going to be subject to any sort of claim for negligent misrepresentation. The fact here is the Callahans have a legitimate, factually based case for negligent misrepresentation, and we believe it would be a miscarriage of justice for this case not to be decided upon by a jury, by a Nebraska jury.
Karen's hypothetical that Justice Castle just provided one step further, couldn't the whole issue be resolved by the insurance agent just simply saying, I can't give you that type of advice, I'm not an expert in that, you need to determine that number yourself?
That's 100% accurate. Had Jeb Brandt done that in this case, we would not be here this morning. For these reasons, we ask that this case be remanded for trial. I appreciate the justice's time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments in Callahan versus Brandt. Counsel, you are excused. And the court will go on to the next case of the day, which is Carson versus Steinke and Boone.